Welcome to the Brown Bowl Podcast. I'm Kim. I'm so happy you're here. Today, we're talking about food. You know, I always love to mix up the episodes. So we've been talking a lot about other topics. We love to discuss things like cravings and how to improve your habits, how to create new habits and get rid of old ones, and just everything, all of the wonderful topics we always talk about in Brown Bowl, like body image and just getting organized in the kitchen to, I don't know, eat the best way you can and make it easy and make it doable. So I always like to kind of mix it up when it comes to the topics and not have, you know, the same kind of episodes all in a row. So I thought it was time to talk a little bit about food and give you tons of ideas for meals this week. So this is a great way to tell you that today's topic is all about greens. We're talking about the glorious greens that we should all be eating daily. And of course, I'm giving you my top ways of preparing them. We're going to talk about all of the nutrients these provide and why it's so important to include these in our diets. So whether you're listening from brownbowl.com or from iTunes or from Stitcher, I just want to give you a warm welcome. We've been having the most amazing summer over here. We've been taking the dogs out to the river. We recently posted a little vlog, our first little vlog in our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/brownbowl. And you can see them splashing around in there. We've been going out for picnics. We've been kind of exploring all the new vegan restaurants that opened up in town. It's just been the most amazing, amazing summer. We've been cooking a lot, recipe testing, and I have to tell you, I can't tell you the whole thing yet because, you know, I'm one of these people that I like to keep things secret until it's actually a fact and it's a done deal. But we're creating something really, really special, and we've been filming nonstop, and soon I'll be able to tell you what that is. And of course, you'll be the first ones to know, as always. So I hope you are having an amazing summer as well, that you're enjoying the nice weather. If it's summer where you live, for some of you, it might be the opposite if you're in the Southern Hemisphere. So I just hope you're having a great time and you got a little bit of time off work and you're enjoying time outside, which is so special. I always think that this time of year, I don't know, I just feel so kind of revitalized because I'm always outside. I love it. I absolutely love it. Okay, so before I keep on rambling for an hour, let's get started with our green topic because I have so many ideas to give you and these are going to be really helpful if all you've been having is just this green lettuce, I don't know, this green lettuce-based salad and you're kind of out of ideas. So this is a great, great way to kind of, I don't know, infuse a little bit of inspiration and delicious flavors into your greens. And remember, we should be having greens daily, a minimum of 3 servings, which is a lot if you're probably like everybody else and you're having maybe 1, right? So we need to be adding more, and I'm gonna give you a ton of ideas today for that. So that typical childhood hatred for anything green is the absolute worst. You know, we grow up fearing this color on our plates, and unless our parents did a really, really good job in making us eat them and get used to the tastes and learn how to appreciate them, we kind of get an awkward start when it comes to amazing nutrition, right? And why is this? Because greens are one of the most nutritious foods available. Now, if you're on this path to healthy eating, you probably know this already, but bear with me because I'm going to give you the lowdown. Greens are so powerful. They are jam-packed with calcium. They're filled with vitamin C, K, A, folate, potassium, chlorophyll, manganese, several B vitamins, including vitamin B2 and B6. They're full of iron, magnesium. They are sky high with fiber, which helps you stay satiated and it improves digestion. And to top all of that, this is kind of one of those crazy things that the universe doesn't give very often. To top all that, they are ridiculously low in calories, which means you're getting a huge nutritional bang for your calorie buck. Now, when I tell people that I think this is one of those cosmic, unbelievable things, unbelievable gifts, because they're so low in calories and so packed with nutrition, people say, yeah, but they're, you know, they're not very interesting to eat. Well, you'll see at the end of this episode, I'm going to change your mind about that because there are so many amazing ways to have these and to cook these and to have them in their raw form and in their cooked form. So each type of green has its own specific benefits and, of course, its own kind of specific vitamin and mineral profile. But here's the good news. there's one very, very easy rule to follow to make sure that you're eating the most nutritious ones. And this is it. It's really simple. You don't even have to write it down. So the rule is the darker the leaf, the more nutritious. Pretty easy, right? That's basically all we need to remember. If we see this rich, dark dinosaur kale, that's going to trump everything else when it comes to nutrition. And when we see greens that are on the lighter side of the green, well, those are still going to have nutrients, of course, but not as many. So the really, really dark color really is a great indicator of that kind of, I don't know, that nutrient density that the greens have. So it's really easy to kind of go towards the more nutritious ones. So there are so many options when it comes to greens. And although you probably know by now, after watching all of our videos and reading the blog and listening to our episodes on the podcast, you know that kale is my favorite, right? And you also know that it has been ranked number one in nutrient density out of all vegetables, not just greens. It's amazing. So although kale is my number one favorite, and it's the number one favorite when it comes to nutrient density too, there are so many options. And I'm going to give you all of my favorite cooking tips and preparations for each of these greens. But first, let's go over two little basic tips for avid green leafy eaters. These are really important. It's nothing that's going to kind of spook you away from greens, but it's something that you have to kind of keep in mind. So first little point that I want to kind of go over is which are best, right? Which greens are best? And also the one green that you should stop eating. I can't believe I've just said that because it's a plant-based food, right? But this is one green that I think you should start eliminating from your plate, and I mean it when I say it. So greens should be a part of our diet every single day. And yes, of course, lettuce and salad greens absolutely count. If you love having a big salad for lunch, that is amazing. But I always highly recommend including heartier and darker greens in the diet as much as possible. So for these, the options include kale, collard greens, bok choy, broccoli. We're going to talk about broccoli because I know you probably just opened up those eyes and said, what? Broccoli's not a leaf, but let's talk about that in a second. Then we have turnip and mustard greens. We have Swiss chard. We have spinach, cabbage, among many others. So the idea is that you kind of vary things up and not only stick with the kind of, I don't know, the kind of milder lettuce leaves and what you would usually use in a green salad, for example. Again, the rule is the darker the better, right? But even besides this rule, just having kind of a variety of them, because that way you're getting all the nutrients, and it's really something that's also going to add a lot of, I don't know, your meals are going to be more interesting when you have different options and you're mixing ingredients up from one day to the next. And okay, so that's one part of this little point I want to talk to you about. The second part is, what is that green? That green that I can't believe I'm going to tell you that you have to stop eating. Not because it is unhealthy, please don't get me wrong, but because it's very close to having no nutrients at all when compared to other greens. And sadly, it's the only green leafy veggie that many people are having. And I think you know what I'm going to say. I'm talking about iceberg lettuce. Now, please do not get me wrong. If you live in a place where greens are not available year-round and the only thing you can find is iceberg lettuce, please make yourself the biggest possible salad on the planet with this. But if you do find the other options, go for the other options. Iceberg lettuce is very close to zero nutrition. And of course, it's very low in calories, so it's not going to hurt you. It's not going to make you gain weight. It's not going to cause any harm to your body. But if you're adding something into your body, wouldn't you prefer that it was the most nutrient-dense food? I mean, that's kind of my motto, right? So salad greens like romaine lettuce, they beat it by a mile. And I'll say it again, the darker you go, the better. So if you love salads and you're not yet familiar with the darker greens, you're not very kind of, I don't know, kale is a little bit strong to you, you haven't gotten used to it yet, and you still want to go with the traditional salad kind of greens, romaine lettuce is amazing. And of course, all of the other lettuces are also very, very good for you. Okay, so the second point I want to talk about before we move on to all of those meal ideas that you can prepare using greens is a little note about high oxalate greens. So oxalate greens are greens like Swiss chard and spinach. Those are the two main ones that we have that are high in these little compounds called oxalates. So these two greens, Swiss chard and spinach, they have countless benefits. They are delicious. They are perfect in things like smoothies and juices, in salads or in sautés. You can have them raw, you can have them cooked. They're really versatile and they're so delicious and they're easy to find. They're inexpensive. So all in all, these are great, right? But I always recommend alternating these with other greens since these are high in oxalates. So the thing with oxalates is that oxalates bind to the calcium found in these leafy greens, making it harder for calcium to be absorbed by our bodies. And on top of that, they can cause some problems in people that are prone to having kidney stones if these are eaten in very high amounts and very kind of constantly. So the good news is that oxalates are slightly reduced by cooking, which makes the calcium in these greens become more readily available. So you can sometimes have these raw and you can sometimes have these cooked and kind of balance things out. And of course, just try to alternate these with other greens. I'm not telling you do not have Swiss chard and spinach. I can tell you, my fridge always has a bag of spinach inside and I'm always having it. So that's not what I'm telling you. I'm just telling you to kind of keep this in mind so that you can kind of alternate your greens. It doesn't mean that they're dangerous, that they shouldn't be eaten, or that you can't have them raw. You can absolutely have them raw. Few salads are as delicious as a raw spinach salad, especially the baby spinach. These are absolutely a part of my diet. I just want you to keep this information in mind, okay? So that you vary up your greens and you consume delicious varieties of them and you're getting all of the benefits that each of them provide. That's it. Very easy. All right, so now let's head on over to talk about all of those amazing greens. Let's get our greens on. Let's talk about each of them and my favorite ways to prepare them. Okay, so first let's talk about kale. Kale is my favorite green leafy. I am obsessed with kale. And my favorite ways to cook it. So what I'm going to do with each green leafy is I'm going to tell you my favorite ways to cook it and my favorite ways to eat it raw in case they're a green leafy that should be eaten raw. So for kale, my favorite way to cook it is to lightly steam it in a steamer basket and just season it with just a little splash of soy sauce, some lemon juice, and a tiny drizzle of sesame oil. This is just for flavor, just to add that nice toasty flavor that sesame oil provides. And this is so easy to make. You can have it literally ready in 5 minutes. It's really simple. So another favorite way of mine to cook it is sautéed with other vegetables, like for example, thinly sliced onions and peppers. So just get that going on a skillet. Add some black beans and then serve it with some roasted sweet potato cubes. Now, recently we made a little quick fix video of a kind of Southwestern kale and sweet potato bowl. And you have it in our YouTube channel and also at bramble.com if you go to our recipe section. So you can find the recipe there and make it. It is absolutely scrumptious. And kale, although you can make this with other green leafies, kale is my favorite one for this bowl, and it is so filling and wonderful. You top it with a little hot sauce, I forgot to say that, and it's so delicious, it's really good. All right, so the third way that I absolutely love to cook kale is, of course, you know what I'm gonna say, right? The new worldwide obsession, kale chips. You roast them in the oven, you make crunchy, crispy, amazing kale chips. They can really satisfy that crunchy craving. Recently, we talked about cravings in our All About Cravings episode, which I highly recommend you go listen to. So this is a great one that it works for those kind of alternatives that I mentioned in that episode. This is a total classic. And yes, it requires a little practice because sometimes you're going to burn the leaves and sometimes they're not going to end up crispy. So we're going to make a video for you soon so that you can master the kale chip. Now, my favorite way to eat kale raw is, of course, in smoothies with some frozen banana, a few chunks of pineapple or pear for that sweetness, or a little bit of mango, and some non-dairy milk. And here you can add any other things you like. So if you want to add chia seeds, go ahead. If you want to add hemp hearts, go ahead. If you want to add a little pea protein or hemp protein to your smoothie, it really goes amazingly well, and it turns the smoothie this beautiful shade of green, which I think is just spectacular. and it's really good for you. You're having your greens in their raw form. So I always tell people when they ask me if it's better to have them raw or cooked, well, it really depends on the green and on the food in general. If you're asking me in general, I always recommend that we should include both cooked and raw foods in our diets. And we might have another episode on this, but there are many nutrients in greens and in other vegetables that are really kind of amped up when you cook them. And in many other cases, the nutrients are kind of more easily absorbable by the body if you have them in the raw form. So it's always good to alternate. Don't kind of focus on only one thing, just kind of have a little bit of everything. And that way you can keep things in balance. You don't have to over obsess and you get a little bit of all the goodness in both of these forms, right? So smoothies are my number one way to have kale. It's really simple. And juices too, if you love juicing, perfect, perfect use of the kale. Okay, another great way to have it raw is chopped into very small kind of bite-sized pieces. And then you massage the kale with your favorite dressing, or for example, some mashed avocado, a little bit of lime juice, some sea salt, and you just massage it with your fingers really well until it's kind of tender. You're gonna see that it shrinks a little bit and that the color changes a little bit to a little darker. And this you'll use as your base for salads. And you top with your favorite raw vegetables. You can add toasted nuts. You can add cranberries. There's an amazing kale salad with toasted pecans and cranberries and pear and fennel in the online program if you're a member, so go check that out. But just add anything you love on top of this kale, this massaged kale. It's really good. Next up, we have collard greens. Now, collard greens are really fantastic. They are very similar in kind of the nutritional profile to kale, so it's a really good alternative. I have it growing in my garden, in my little terrace, so I always have these beautiful collard green leaves to make a lot of delicious foods, and I'm gonna tell you what I love to do. So my favorite way to cook collard greens is to lightly steam it only until pliable. So you have these really, really big leaves of these collard greens. You put them in a steamer basket, and you just let them steam until you can actually bend them, right? And they're bright green. And then you use that big leaf as a wrap instead of a flour tortilla. So this is a very light lunch or light dinner. It's really delicious. It can serve as a snack. So you fill it up with, for example, some hummus or some pesto, some raw vegetables that are really crunchy, thinly sliced, like carrots and peppers, things like that. You can add some tempeh or tofu, and you'll have the most fun and healthy meal. You can also include a dipping sauce or a little dressing to make it more fun. And it's really amazing. You get this very satisfying and fun flavor. It's a great kind of starter to a meal as well. So this is really my favorite way to cook with collard greens. But of course, you can also simply slice it, just thinly slice it, and you can add it to stir fries, to soups, to stews. It's really, really a great green. It's very hearty, so it's gonna withstand cooking. It's really amazing. Now, my favorite way to eat it raw is very, very thinly sliced and used in salads or added, for example, to smoothies or to juices, just like I told you with the kale. Any recipe that you use for kale can be made with collards since they're very, very versatile. I think the only exception might be the kale chip because the texture is a little bit different. Now, if you've made collard green chips, please write to me and tell me I did it. I managed to do it. So I haven't really tried it, but I have the kind of instinct that it wouldn't work as much. They're very thick. The leaves are kind of really, really powerful. So I don't know if the chip would work, but any other recipe you use for kale works perfectly fine with collards. Okay, now it's time for Carlos's favorite. So my husband's favorite is bok choy. You've probably seen our simple pan-fried bok choy video, and if you haven't, go to our YouTube channel or to our recipe section at brownwell.com. It's one of our people's favorite videos because nobody knows how to cook bok choy, and it's so powerful because it is absolutely jam-packed with calcium, and it's really interesting green, I have to tell you. It's also one of my favorites. So my favorite way to cook it is just grilled on the barbecue or on a grill pan, like you'll see in that video that I just mentioned. And after you have those beautiful little grill marks on the bok choy, well, first you've got this big kind of bulb, right, with the bok choy. You have to slice it into thick kind of steaks or thick slices, and then you put those slices on the grills. That way you have that little surface for those grill marks. Once you have those grill marks, you just take it out of the pan and you just drizzle some soy sauce and some lemon juice. And it's really that's all it needs. You can sprinkle some sesame seeds on top. It's really, really amazing. Now, another way that bok choy turns out fabulous is to just very lightly steam it until it's really bright green, but it is still crisp. So the beauty about bok choy is that it has this amazing crunchy texture even after you cook it, if you don't overcook it, of course. So the idea is that you get this bright green vegetable with that white bottom part, and it's really beautiful. It's got kind of like an ombre effect. And so you just steam it until it's bright green and crisp, and then you kind of season it a little bit if you'd like, and you use it to top soups, especially Asian-style soups, or you use it next to a stir-fry if you're making a stir-fry. So it's really beautiful. We have, by the way, photos of some of these dishes that I'm mentioning in the blog post that corresponds to this podcast episode. So if you're not in front of your computer and you're not listening from bramble.com, just go over to bramble.com, use the little search bar and type in glorious greens and you can see it. Another way to cook bok choy is to just separate the leaves from that little bulb and add the leaves, the whole leaves, to stir fries, or even better, if you find what I believe is the cutest vegetable on the planet. It looks like little mini aliens. It's the baby bok choy. It's like, I don't know, it's a very, very tiny vegetable. You can hold it with two fingers. It's really, really kind of a tiny version of that big bok choy bulb. And it's really beautiful because you can just lightly saute these or stir fry these, and you can just pop it one in your mouth, and it's beautiful. So if you can find those aren't available where I live, unfortunately, but if you can find those, they cook really, really fast. You can also steam those and use them in other dishes, and they are fantastic. All right, now, can you eat bok choy raw? So here are my little tips. So I have to tell you that I hardly ever eat bok choy raw, since I absolutely love it cooked. And it can be a little bit bitter and kind of tough when raw. It's still gonna be a little bit crunchy, but I don't know, it's just not the same feeling as when it's lightly cooked. I always say, don't overcook your greens, just lightly cook them so that they become vibrant and that you remove that bitter edge. Now, when combined, however, with other ingredients, for example, in smoothies, they might be fine. So just try to balance out the flavors with fruits like mango or pear so that you have that added sweetness and you still take advantage of all of that great nutrition. I'm sure it's going to be fine if you kind of play around with the other ingredients you're adding to your smoothie. All right, another option for eating it raw is to separate the leaves of the smaller bok choy bulbs. Remember, whenever we're talking about greens, the smaller the leaf, the smaller the plant, the smaller the bulb of bok choy, the kind of milder or sweeter it's going to be. So when you're going for raw preparations, this is kind of what you're looking for. So try to find the smaller bok choy bulbs and use those separated leaves in salads. You can pair it with some carrots, some nuts, some dried cranberries, shredded Brussels sprouts, which are amazing, and use something like a sweet Dijon vinaigrette or something like that. Really good. Okay, time for broccoli. Now, yes, I'm including broccoli in this list. Now, broccoli is not technically a leaf, but I'm including it because it is very similar in terms of nutrition. Broccoli is packed with calcium. It's packed with a very, very similar nutritional profile as the other green leafies. It doesn't mean that you can only have broccoli and forget about the other leaves. No, I want you to have a variety. Remember, I always say variety is king, right? So when it comes to broccoli, my favorite ways to cook it are, for example, lightly steaming it in a steamer basket and then adding the easiest and most delicious seasoning ever, which is a little mixture. You just grab a bowl and you mix together some Dijon mustard, a little bit of garlic powder, some soy sauce, and a little drizzle of sesame oil. These flavors go together really well, but when you pour it on top of lightly steamed broccoli, it's just crazy. It's really good. You can have this as a side with anything you're having. Now, another way is lightly steamed, again, in a steamer basket, and served as is, just really simple. Steamed broccoli with just a little sprinkle of garlic powder. So if, for example, you're on a low sodium diet because you have a particular condition that you're trying to eliminate sodium or reduce sodium, this is a great way to add flavor without having to add salt. So a sprinkle of garlic powder, that's really all broccoli needs. It's really yummy. This is how I have it almost every day with my veggie bowls. I just steam broccoli, add garlic powder, that's it. Another great way is to cook it in curry. So when you're making a curry with, for example, some coconut milk and some chickpeas or some tofu or tempeh, just add in that broccoli towards the end of the cooking process, just so that it really becomes bright green. You don't overcook it. And the great thing about broccoli is that it has that little kind of tree-like appearance, and that kind of soaks up all of that sauce. It's also why I love to include it when I'm making mac and cheese, because you have all that cheesy sauce kind of getting caught in all of the little crevices, and it is really delicious. So try it in curries. I don't think I ever make a curry without adding broccoli, which is weird, but it's just, I love it. I love that feeling you get when you bite into a piece of broccoli and all the sauce comes kind of out of the floret. It's amazing. All right, another way, very simple. You know this, you've had this. It's just using the broccoli florets in stir fries and in sautés. So anytime you're sautéing vegetables or you're stir frying vegetables in a wok, add some broccoli and it gives a great texture and heartiness to the meal. Really good. All right, now favorite ways to eat it raw. And yes, you can have broccoli raw, absolutely. So one way that blew my mind when I first heard of it, and I started doing it ever since, is whenever I make juices. Now, I'm much more a smoothie fan than a juice fan, partly because I hate cleaning that machine. It's just like my nemesis. I just hate to clean it. The blender is so simple to clean, right? So I just end up using my blender much more than my juicer. So in juices, when I do make them, it's usually more towards the summer months, I use that thick stalk of broccoli, you know, the part that you normally throw away after you've cut out the florets and you have this kind of tree trunk left over. Put that through your juicer. It adds sweetness and you're not throwing anything out and you're using all of that nutrition because, yeah, the stalk might not be the brightest green color of the whole bunch, but it's good for you. It's got nutrients in it. So why would you throw it out? So that's something that blew my mind and I loved it because I always felt bad about throwing it out. I never used it. I always used the florets. Another thing you can do, you can absolutely have it raw in salads, but that's not kind of my favorite. I think it has this really tough texture and it has this very particular flavor. So what I like to do, this is kind of cheating, right? It's not exactly raw. And if you were a raw foodist, you were probably gonna hate what I'm gonna say now. But what I like to do when I want to have, for example, broccoli in salads, all I do is I blanch it. So blanching is basically you take a pot of water, you bring it to a boil, you drop that floret in for just like 2 seconds just for the water to hit it, and then you immediately take it out with a spider or a slotted spoon and you dump it into an ice bath. So a big bowl with water and ice that will halt the cooking. So that only meant that it kind of made it brighter, it made it more beautiful with that bright green color, and it kind of tamed that, it's not exactly a bitter taste, is it? It's just that kind of strange flavor that it has when it's raw. It kind of tames that a little bit. And then those florets, which are still very, very crunchy, you can use them throughout the week in salads. So this is something that I love to do when I'm batch cooking. You've heard me talk about batch cooking a million times. So this is something I love to do when I'm batch cooking. I blanch these florets and I keep them in containers and I use them throughout the week in salads. Or in, for example, a little crudité platter with my favorite dipping sauces, and it's a really great snack. Okay, on to Swiss chard. Now remember, Swiss chard is one of those high oxalate greens, and as you'll see now, I still eat it, and I'm gonna teach you how I cook it and how I prepare it, so you can have it too. Please do not be afraid of it, just alternate it with the other greens. So my favorite way to cook Swiss chard is to really thinly slice it, and I mean like samurai sword sliced, okay? So really thinly sliced, and then you're gonna saute it with thinly sliced onions and some raisins or some dried cranberries for that little sweetness, some olives or capers. So what you're gonna do here is you're gonna balance acidity, saltiness, and sweetness in the same dish. So the dried cranberries or raisins, the olives, the capers, a little drizzle of maple syrup if you want to, and some apple cider vinegar or lemon juice, and you just saute all of that together. It is incredible. Now, my second favorite way to cook it is to do exactly that, but then use that preparation, those greens that are already with all of those ingredients, as a filling for a baked sweet potato, and then I top it with a little bit of pesto. Now, if you want an idea for a pesto, my favorite pesto, which is oil-free and, of course, dairy-free, is in our recipe section at bramble.com. It's an oil-free spinach and basil pesto, and it is amazing. You can also find it in our YouTube channel. Really good. Now, my favorite way to eat it raw is to add it in smoothies, but especially in juices. And in juices, what I like to do is I love to combine it with cucumber, some ginger, some lemon, and some green apple. That's like kind of my favorite combination. You can add a little bit of celery too. So you get this nice green juice with all of that Swiss chard, and it's really delicious. Okay, so spinach. Let's talk about spinach. Spinach, another one of those high oxalate greens, but another one you have to include in your diet. One of the reasons is it's very high in iron. So Popeye was right. He was right to eat all that spinach. It's really good for you. Now, my favorite way to cook spinach is the Greek way. You simply saute some minced garlic, a small pinch of chili flakes if you like a little bit of heat, and then you add the spinach. You remember that spinach wilts and it kind of shrinks down a ton, so you have to pile on the spinach. I mean, like, monstrous amounts, because this is a very addicting dish and you're going to be very upset if after you've finished cooking, you didn't have enough. It's really good. So you add the spinach, you cook it and kind of stir everything together until it has wilted. And once it's all wilted and combined with that garlic and those chili flakes, you add a splash of lemon juice, a little bit of sea salt, pepper, and you serve. It's completely addicting. So you have to make this. You have to try it and let me know what you thought. Now, it's very important, because you're adding only garlic and not garlic and onions, that garlic can really burn fast. So do this quickly, okay? So just do it at low heat at first with that garlic, and once you feel that it's fragrant, add in that spinach. Don't let it brown. All right, another way to add spinach to cooked dishes is to add it to curries or stews. And this is gonna wilt down, but it's gonna add beautiful texture, a nice color, and just a nice feeling to that. It's gonna make it nice and satisfying, and you get all the nutrition. Another option is to add it to veggie burgers to add kind of color and texture. So what I like to do is I chop it and I add it to my veggie burger mix, and it just looks really nice. Another option is, of course, in vegetable soups, and you can even make an entire kind of creamy spinach soup if you'd like. But you can also add it if you're making any type of vegetable soup where you're cooking the veggies and then kind of pureeing it to make a nice, hearty, and filling soup. I also love it in lasagna or in making fillings for stuffed pasta. It's really good. It's a classic for a reason. And I love it as part of a creamy artichoke and spinach dip. So, you know, that classic dip. It's so good. And you can just use some artichoke and spinach and serve it inside, make that dip and serve it inside a bread bowl. Now, if you're a member of our online program, this is one of our favorite recipes in the program. And you can find it in there in your members area. I think it's in the main dishes section. It's really good. It's great for parties. And it always turns out great. So it's perfect for, I don't know, even a dinner in front of the TV when you're watching a movie together, kind of movie night thing. It's really good. It's kind of a little dip, and you use the same bread in the bread bowl to dip in and dig in. It's really good. Okay, so my favorite ways to eat spinach raw are in smoothies and juices. Again, I sound like a broken record, but smoothies are fabulous, especially if you do not like greens. If you're just getting used to the flavors, if you think they are bitter, if you just don't know how to make them, just put them in a smoothie. This is better than not having them at all. And the great news is the smoothie is not going to taste like spinach. It's not going to taste like Swiss chard. It's not going to taste like kale. It's going to taste with all of those delicious sweet notes of the fruit you add and all of the other, I don't know if you're adding a little citrus or a little ginger. All of that is going to come together, and you're not going to feel that very strong, powerful flavor of the green, which you'll get used to, by the way. I felt that they were a little bit jarring at first when I started incorporating more into my diet, and now I just think the taste is fantastic. I can just literally munch on a kale leaf and be very happy, just like that. So our taste buds change, and our likes and our dislikes change as our diet changes. So it adds really wonderful sweetness and great texture when you add spinach to smoothies and to juices. And of course, I have to pay tribute to the classic raw spinach salad, especially when we make it with that baby spinach leaf with it, which is so adorable. It's really good. It's very tender. It's milder in flavor. So you might want to start with this one if you're not a big spinach fan. And these spinach salads go great paired with something sweet. For example, adding raspberries to the salad, or blueberries, strawberries, cranberries, or raisins, or mandarin oranges are also delicious, as well as ingredients like pecans, walnuts, hazelnuts. And I have to tell you, two things you might not associate with the spinach salad is to have, and on top of all these ingredients I mentioned, or just choosing one from those categories, add some grilled mushrooms, especially the big portobello mushrooms, and some lentils. And for the perfect dressing for spinach salad, since it's kind of a heartier leaf, I always love to play with balsamic vinegar. Balsamic works incredibly well with spinach. And you can either use white or dark balsamic. You can add some grainy mustard, some lemon, some miso, a little bit of maple syrup for sweetness, and you have the perfect dressing for a spinach salad. Okay, now we might be getting into some familiar territory. We're going to talk about romaine lettuce and other salad greens. So my favorite way to cook romaine lettuce, and yeah, did you suddenly open up your eyes again really, really wide because I said I'm going to cook romaine? Yeah, it's not very typical. I'll give you that, right? It's not typical to cook romaine lettuce, but there is a way to prepare romaine that people adore, and it's really, really interesting. So yes, I have to tell you that I normally eat my romaine lettuce in its raw form, but some people love cutting this big, big head of romaine lettuce into quarters, and then you grill each quarter. Now, it's important that it stays in the quarter with that little base that holds it together so that it doesn't fall apart. And then once it's grilled and you have those little grill marks, you pour on top a very strong dressing or a sauce over it. So things like a tahini miso dressing that is really, really powerful. You can add a little spice to it or a little heat. You can try our Thai peanut sauce, which is in our recipe section as well and in our YouTube channel. You can add sweet mustard dressings or make kind of a vegan ranch style dressing. They all go amazingly well with this dish. Now, what about raw form? So this is what we normally associate with romaine, right? So my favorite way to have romaine is to buy romaine hearts. So that little mini version of the romaine lettuce, it's my favorite because I love having lettuce cups. And if you're a member of our program, you probably know this recipe very well because I mention it constantly. It's our tofu lettuce cups with a Thai peanut sauce. And basically all you have to do to make a delicious lettuce cup is just to add a combination of cooked and raw vegetables. You can choose any that you like. And you add a plant-based protein source if you want to, for example, tofu or tempeh. And then of course you need a little sauce. So this can be as simple as a splash of soy sauce or any dressing that you have on hand. And if you want to make our Thai peanut sauce, that's also in our recipe section. So go check it out. It's a total member favorite. And it's great for salads and for any type of thing for, I don't know, these spring rolls or summer rolls. It's really, you can use it with anything, really. Now, another thing you can make are lettuce boats or tacos with big romaine leaf, with a big, big leaf. Now we're not talking about the mini romaine hearts, but the bigger romaine leaves. And you can just use this as your taco if you're trying to keep your meal a little bit lighter or you're not as hungry and you just want to have something that is nice and fresh. It's hot outside, you know, just use this as your base. And then you're going to add your favorite taco fillings. So things like black beans, salsa, guacamole, thinly sliced raw cabbage is amazing because it adds a lot of crunch. So just kind of go crazy. Add any fillings that you like. It doesn't even have to be Mexican inspired. Just use anything you like. It's really just a place for you to hold your filling and still get your greens in. And of course, another option you have is to simply make your favorite salads and just vary up the toppings and the dressings. And we actually have a little surprise for you. Maybe you already have this because I think we've included this in other posts or in other episodes. We are giving you access to our little super cool salad menu printable. So it's like this little PDF printable, and to access it, just go to the post that corresponds to this episode. So just go to bramble.com, put in Glorious Greens in the search bar, and you'll find the post and you'll find this little link. And you can download a little printable that has different sections with things like grains, protein sources, fruit, toppings, dressings, and you mix and match ideas. So you can grab, I don't know, 3 things from this column and 2 things from that column, and you have 8 amazing ideas for so many different salads. You can have a different salad every day of the week or every day of the month, and you still wouldn't have made them all. So there's lots and lots of ideas and maybe things you haven't thought about that can really go in salads. And we're also giving you our salad dressings printable, which has amazing ideas, really delicious. It's just like a quick glance printable. You can stick it to your fridge, and it's got everything from herby chimichurri style dressing to creamy avocado to oil-free Asian miso, tropical bliss pineapple, and many others. And they're really delicious, and you can stick these 2 printables on your fridge or in your cupboard and have a ton of ideas for salads. Okay, on to cabbage. We're almost at the end of the list. So things are getting interesting because the last few are some that maybe you haven't tried before. So cabbage is something that many people stay away from. I don't know why. It's a member of the cruciferous family. We should be eating cruciferous vegetables every day because they have huge cancer prevention benefits. It's really been highly recommended by doctors in many, many areas. This is just a proven fact. We should be including cruciferous vegetables at every meal. Kale is also part of this family. Broccoli is also part of this family. So is the Brussels sprout and cauliflower. So we have other varieties, but cabbage is the typical thing I think of when I think of cruciferous veggies. So for cooking, I'm paying tribute to my Russian and Polish heritage here. Are there any Russians or Polish fellow Bramblers out there listening? I think you're gonna recognize this dish. So my favorite way to have cooked cabbage is to prepare stuffed cooked cabbage leaves with tempeh and veggies, which you then kind of place in a casserole dish and pour a delicious rich tomato sauce over it, and you bake it in the oven. So this dish is a very traditional kind of Eastern European dish. Now, what you do is you cook the leaves. You can steam them only until tender, or you can go totally old school. This is how they used to do it in my house. They used to boil the entire head of green cabbage, and then once it was cooked, it's very easy to separate the leaves and get that whole leaf intact. So then on a skillet, for example, you prepare your filling, and here you can just get creative, right? You can saute some tempeh or tofu with mushrooms, onions, peppers, celery, some sage or some thyme, any spices that you like, any other vegetables that you like, and just moisten it a little bit by adding a splash of wine or some tomatoes to kind of just moisten up the saute. And then this is your filling. So you're gonna stuff your little leaves with this filling and you roll it up. You make like these little tamales or, I don't know, these little packets with that cabbage and that filling. And then you place all of these little rolls in a casserole dish. You pour some tomato sauce on top. If you can do it at home, even better. And you bake it in the oven. And it's just, oh God, I'm just having the biggest flashback to my childhood. It's really, really a great dish. And the aromas that will fill your house, you won't believe. Just, you could just have them as they come out of the oven, just like that, or you can serve them with rice, or you can even add rice to the filling. That's also something you can do. And then you just eat it, and then you just go straight to heaven. Another thing we used to do when I was growing up, especially for Christmas, is I used to make this saute, this kind of purple cabbage saute. Well, it's really kind of a braising technique because you have it kind of submerged in a liquid, but the top is also exposed a little bit. So the only thing you have to do really is to saute some thinly sliced purple cabbage and add some raisins, some apples, some grapes or dried cranberries, any type of sweet fruit that you love. You're gonna add some caramelized onions, some balsamic vinegar, some maple syrup, and then you just really let that cook down. It's gonna start releasing all that purple color and the whole thing is gonna turn into this beautiful, beautiful dish that is really kind of Christmassy, and it's just perfect for the holidays, and it's sweet and it's tangy, and it's really good when you have sweet sides next to this. So if you're having, I don't know, a sweet potato puree or a sweet potato casserole, it really goes really nicely with this. And of course, another way to have cabbage, which is typical in Asian cuisine, is just to include it in Asian style stir fries. When you're making a stir fry, add a little bit of cabbage and you're adding all of that cruciferous nutrition, which is so important. All right, so what's my favorite way to have it raw? Let's see if you can guess. Can you guess? There's one salad in this planet that they should have given a Nobel Prize to the person that invented it because it's the best thing ever. I'm talking about coleslaw, right? Need I say more? I mean, who doesn't love a big batch of coleslaw when you're having a barbecue, when you're having a picnic? It's really incredible. And it just keeps great because it doesn't wilt down. It actually gains more flavor as you leave it a few hours. So it's just one of the genius creations of our time, I have to tell you. So here all you have to do is use your favorite recipe. Use eggless mayo instead of regular mayonnaise. And you can add little additions to vary up your coleslaw. This is what I love to do. So I love to kind of use the standard combo of green cabbage and carrot for the coleslaw, and of course the dressing with some eggless mayonnaise. And then I add some poppy seeds, which add a nice pop of color. I use some pineapple chunks cut small, like bite-sized pieces, some very thinly sliced onions, and I love it after you've got your salad, after it's ready, I love to put it inside of wraps with other goodies. It's really crunchy and incredible. And we only think about it when we think about salads, but you can stuff stuff with it. Really good, right? Next up are the famous turnip greens. Now, you might have never cooked with these. So whenever you buy turnips and you see that they have greens on the other end, please don't chop those off and throw them out because they're very high in nutrients, and I'm going to teach you how to cook them. So it's like getting two vegetables in one, and it's really, really great. So if you love buying turnips, you're going to love using the greens from now on, and they're filled with nutrition. So my favorite way to cook it is to just saute it with some thinly sliced red onion, some pine nuts, and some raisins, and then just add a little bit of lemon juice at the very end, a little bit of sea salt, and it's really simple. They're kind of sweet. They are very nice. They're not overpowering at all, and they're very simple to cook, and you can slice them, or you can kind of saute them whole, whatever you like. They look beautiful. Another way is to just chop them up and use them in stews or soups or curries. So whenever you see that you're making a soup, a stew, or a curry, I don't know if you've noticed kind of a recurring theme, just add in some greens. Just use it as an excuse, add in some greens. Same thing happens when you're making a smoothie. A smoothie without greens is pointless. It's the only reason I make them. So add in those greens. Whenever you see a stew, a soup, or a curry that you're making, just kind of use that moment to kind of, I don't know, get that inspiration, go run to the fridge, get those greens and add them in. They're all gonna be great inside of this. So now when it comes to raw preparations, I have to tell you that with turnip greens and with the others that I'm going to mention now, I highly recommend making them cooked rather than raw. Another green that comes attached to something that you probably already buy are beet greens. So when you buy beets and they have this long pink stalk and that's connected to some beautiful leaves at the end, which you're throwing out, don't throw them out. Use them. They're really, really great. Now, if you're a member of our online program, you're going to see me making these beet greens in our batch cooking session number one. That's the video where I'm cooking the beet greens. So just take a look. It's really, really simple, but I'm going to teach you how to make it right now. So what you do is you chop the beet greens, and I like to include a little hint of that pink stalk. Now, this can be kind of tough, so I only kind of use the part that is attached to the leaf. And then I do throw some of the kind of coarser ones out. But you can even include it, the whole thing. Just chop it up really finely so you don't have this very chewy and kind of, I don't know, uncomfortable feeling in your mouth. So just chop it, and you're going to saute it in a pan with lots of onions, thinly sliced. So you can get that started first, the onions, add a little bit of garlic, then you add the greens, and then you just add a splash of soy sauce and some lemon juice, and that's it. And of course you can add any other seasonings you like. You can add garlic powder, onion powder, sea salt, pepper, anything you love. But this is all I add. I add soy sauce and lemon juice and that garlic and onion, and that's it. I love serving these next to sweet potatoes or on top of veggie bowls. They're really fantastic, and they're full of nutrients, and they're really beautiful. They kind of release this little pink hint and pink hue to them, and they're very bright green. So it's kind of very interesting to see on your plate. It's kind of, I don't know, it's very inspiring. So I love it. Now, when it comes to raw preparations, again, same as with turnip greens, I think these are best eaten cooked. So if you want raw forms, just use the other greens that I've mentioned before. We made it to our last bunch of greens, which are mustard greens and dandelion greens. Now, my favorite way to cook either of these is just sauteed in their whole form, so I don't even chop them. And I just saute them for a few minutes until they're nice and tender. I season with some sea salt and pepper, a little bit of lemon juice, And this is just a tame, that peppery, they have like a peppery and spicy taste, and the lemon just really helps with that if that's a little bit overpowering. And then what I do, after these are ready, I toss them with some toasted pecans and, for example, some grapefruit or blood orange segments or mandarin orange segments and some cooked quinoa and some grilled mushrooms, and you have the most incredible warm salad. It's really incredible, and dandelion greens are kind of the weed that I have in my garden, in my little veggie patch. I have like a mini, one day I'll give you a tour. I have like a mini veggie patch in my terrace, all in pots, by the way. I don't have soil in my terrace. We live in a third floor. So I have all of these plants in my terrace, and there's a certain point of the year in which dandelion greens are just exploding. Now, of course, my plants aren't chemically treated. I don't use pesticides. I don't use anything that could be unhealthy. So I just pull out the weeds and I cook them in this way that I suggested. But you can, of course, also purchase them, and they're filled with nutrition. And mustard greens, you can make them in the same way. Really good. Now, when it comes to raw preparations, again, this is another group that I prefer to eat in the cooked form rather than the raw form because they're a little bit strong. Maybe mustard greens, you could include a few in a salad mixed with other greens. So just try it out and see. You can experiment and see what you like. As you can see, greens can be so much more than just a bed in a salad bowl. They're just so versatile, and you can prepare them in different ways every single day so that you're never bored and you get maximum nutrition. And, you know, speaking of which, please do not forget to download that salad and salad dressings printable. You have those in the blog post of this episode. And that's a great place to start kind of revamping salads. If for now you're kind of focused on the salad because it's the easiest thing and you haven't figured out how to make the others, but of course use all of these ideas that I gave you. But those two printables will really save you a lot of time and will give you amazing ideas, because here's what happens when we just sit down to cook and make a salad. We kind of tend to do the same thing over and over again, right? We have the same cucumber and tomato and onion and maybe some avocado, and we just mix all that together, and that's a great salad, by the way. It just sounds amazing, but if you start eating that every day, you're going to get bored. That's not the idea, and you're not using some of the darker leafy greens that are so important. So it's really a great way to start kind of adding more nutrition and more variety, and the salad dressing printable is going to help you because these can be sauces for any of the other greens and preparations that I mentioned. So pretty cool, huh? All right, so before I go, I want you to tell me, and you can do this in many ways. You can send me an email at info@brownbowl.com. You can leave it in the comments of the blog post. You can leave it in social media. You can use the contact page in our, the contact form in our contact page at brownbowl.com. I just love to hear from you. So please send me any questions that you have. And I want you to tell me, what is your favorite green and what is your favorite way to prepare it? And of course, don't forget to share this episode and the post that goes with this episode with someone you love who is kind of struggling and looking for some healthy cooking inspiration and doesn't know what to make and is kind of mystified by this creature called kale. So please share. And I'm so grateful that you spend this time with me. I hope you start cooking some greens. They're so good for you. And of course, I will see you again next week in our little date, which is on Thursday. See you soon. I hope you're having a great summer.